Hello, 2021! A whole new year and a whole new decade!
UN Decade of Ocean Science for Sustainable Development, that is. On this episode, we take a look at what the Decade of the Ocean is, and how this still-developing decade will take shape.
Come with us now as we explore this international effort to mobilize the scientific community, policymakers, the business world, and civil society for ocean protection on
Ocean Science Radio. Welcome back to Ocean Science Radio, the podcast giving you the latest, greatest, and sometimes deepest stories in the ocean. I'm shark scientist, aquanaut, and overall nerd, Francis Farabaugh.
And I am climate science and ocean communications gunslinger Andrew Kornblatt. On this episode, we are speaking about the Decade of the Ocean, a UN or United Nations organized international effort to light a fire under the collective pants of the ocean science and conservation community. But to really tell the story, we need to rewind the clock all the way back to the long ago era of 2015.
In 2015, the United Nations developed 17 Sustainable Development Goals that focus on the issues of extreme poverty, inequality and injustice, and combating climate change. Number 14 of those goals aims to, quote, conserve and sustainably use the oceans, seas, and marine resources for sustainable development.
Under the umbrella of Goal 14 are seven objectives to achieve by 2030, by the end of the decade. This is a lot of numbers we're throwing at you. These objectives include creating a comprehensive digital atlas of the ocean, a comprehensive ocean observing system for all major basins, a quantitative and qualitative understanding of ocean ecosystems and their functioning as the basis for their management and adaptation, basically trying to bump up the knowledge, education, and synergy around the ocean.
Gotta love the buzzwords.
There's a lot of them in this.
To learn more about this effort, we spoke to someone who was working on the inside. Meet Taylor.
Hi, my name's Taylor Gills. I'm the outgoing Canals Fellow working on the UN Decade of Ocean Science for Sustainable Development, a 10-year initiative to transform ocean science and tech and sustainable development to move from the ocean we have to the ocean that we want.
A 10-year initiative seems like a lot, but this is relatively common at the UN, who tends to look at things in much larger cycles. The idea of the Ocean Decade has been kicked around for a while.
The Ocean Decade has kind of been in the works at the United Nations level for many years. In 2017, the United Nations General Assembly declared that there will be a decade to focus on the ocean, which is pretty incredible considering that the Paris Climate Agreement had occurred just a few years earlier, and there was discussion whether they should even include the word ocean in it. That kind of ocean climate nexus hadn't really been too focused on before that. And so until the end of 2020, the United Nations, led by the Intergovernmental Oceanographic Commission, the IOC, has been leading an organizational bonanza, basically, to try to get the world ready for this decade. And so to come up with an implementation plan for the roadmap for how they want to this decade to proceed and what are their different goals, what do they want to be in 10 years. So starting January 1, 2021 this year, we're officially in the decade now. So we're not just planning anymore, we're trying to execute this idea of transformation.
The reason that there was a push for the Ocean Decade to be creative was the relative lack of an international push on altruistic and educational efforts around the ocean. In fact, the current Ocean Decade is built on a previous effort with less lofty scientific goals.
I think because there'd been a lack of focus on the ocean in the past, like I said, in the Paris Climate Accords, they were kind of arguing back and forth whether they wanted the word ocean in there. It ended up in there, but there'd not been a huge global focus on the ocean at the UN level in decades. In the 1970s, there was a similar ocean decade, but it was focused on resource exploitation and so how humans can get as much as they can out of the ocean. So it's kind of a nice hearkening back to that effort, but the growing realization, I think, at the global level that the ocean plays a role in all of our daily lives, if you live by the coast or not. So I think that this global focus was just a way to kind of bring all these different stakeholders together who have realized the important role of the ocean towards their common goals.
One way to think about the Ocean Decade is that by declaring it, it starts the process of bringing together all of the experts, decision makers, stakeholders, movers and shakers to build up the elements that will eventually make it great. If you build it, they will come, raise more attention, and build even more. I mean, maybe I should declare this decade the decade of Andrew, get some goals, objectives going.
My boss, Craig McLean, who's the AA of NOAA Research and also has been on the executive planning group for the decade at the global level, he calls the decade a potluck because it is what we bring to it, and that we could be in the decade of yarn, you know, and that it doesn't make any difference. So yeah, we could definitely have a decade of Andrew, but if no one showed up to the party, then it's not a very fun, very fun decade. So the kind of beauty and difficulty in this ocean decade is that we're building the plane while we're flying it. So in the implementation plan, this document that was approved by the UN General Assembly at the end of last year, I said it was the roadmap for the decade, but it's a very broad kind of outline. It outlines 7 societal outcomes and 10 challenges for what we want the ocean to look like and how we want to get there. But they're leaving it pretty broad and vague in terms of how we get there and what are the different programs and what is the meat of this decade going to be. And so it's both exciting and kind of terrifying because, you know, if you show up to a potluck and no one brings anything, it's not a very fun party. But if people bring all these different things and we build this decade together, it can be something really, really interesting. So that's why it's hard in this first month and even the first year of the decade. It's going to be hard to answer the question, what is it or what is it trying to achieve other than saying like these broad general things, you know?
And just like building most new big things, it's a bit of a double-edged sword.
The logic behind it really is the idea to transform the ocean that we have. So the ocean we have right now has, you know, many different issues that are science-based, that are societal-based, technology limitations, policy that isn't in line with, you know, sustainable development goals. We're not usually well aligned in terms of partnerships.
Through this international effort of the Ocean Decade, it is hoped that synergies can be developed. Connecting lines can be drawn, structures and relationships can be created, and something impactful and transformative will emerge.
And so over the course of this 10 years is to transform the business as usual of all of that and move from the ocean we have to the ocean that we want. And I mentioned that there are these 7 societal outcomes, and they're purposefully really, really broad, and they are defining what it is the ocean that we want is. So it's things like a clean ocean, a healthy and resilient ocean, a productive ocean, a predicted ocean, a safe ocean, an accessible ocean, and then an inspiring and engaging ocean. So those are the broad general characteristics of what the ocean we want needs to look like. And so the goal is that over these 10 years, we partake in all sorts of different activities and partnerships, develop new science, new technology, put forth new policy to make the ocean that we want.
These are some lofty goals. So what has been accomplished so far?
Yeah, so very little has actually been launched. So the very first call for actions for the decade had opened up last October, and the submissions were due on the 15th of January, so just a little bit ago. And these were for programs, so the biggest ideas of the decade. So these are supposed to be big, multinational, multi-ocean basin, multi-partnership ideas. So it's the idea of, you know, mapping the entire ocean. That's a big thing that can be a program that is under the decade. So this spring, the IOC will be evaluating those programs and announcing them at the now virtual decade launch. That's gonna be late May, early June of this year. But the most interesting part of this first part of the year is that, you know, we don't have these big like banner programs yet and they're to come, but even the new conversations that are happening and the new partnerships and the people who are dedicating themselves to this, that I'm part of this global early career ocean professional group, and we just submitted a program under the decade. So to bring intergenerational diversity into the decade. So even though we're not fully vetted yet by the IOC, the fact that I've been working with people from around the world who I didn't know a year ago in order to put forth these ideas, that's happening everywhere. And so I'm excited to see that all brought together under the banner of the decade.
A pretty cool result of the Ocean Decade is the fact that it is opening up all these different side events and side efforts created by and sponsored by different governments and agencies across the world.
One such side event has put out the call for Ocean Shots, calling for big, world-changing ideas around ocean science, technology, and education in a giant virtual postering session where there are nearly 100 different virtual booths you can visit.
Full disclosure, being the busybody I am involved in two Ocean Shot proposals. Here's Taylor on more about the shots.
So the Ocean Shots are for the U.S. National Committee. So on the global level is the IOC and the implementation plan. And then within the implementation plan, they recommend that each country create these national coordinating committees, these groups that can be the central hub within each country for decade organization. And so within the U.S., that's the U.S. National Committee is housed at the National Academies of Sciences. And they have really jumped onto this idea of transformation for the decade. And so they came up with the idea of ocean shots. So hearkening back to the moon shots of JFK. And so they asked the U.S. ocean community to think big and think broad, you know, to think beyond typical funding cycles, typical partnerships, to really try to present their new ideas. So it's interesting because the decade is so, there's so many governance levels and so many people are trying to do great things all at the same time that they don't all directly line up. But the U.S. has one of the furthest along national committees. And so they're really trying to set an example for what these committees should look like and how they should inspire their communities to think big and broad.
But it isn't just the country-specific actions that are creating big waves around the decade of the ocean. The effort is trying to open up the process and the dialogue to more and more voices.
There's a youth advisory council that's been formed for youth ages 13 to 25 to have a voice for the ocean decade in the U.S. So it's a really great blueprint that we hope others, as they're starting to get their committees off the ground, will follow.
Taylor's fellowship was only for a year, but since last February, she has been hard at work building and creating different interagency connections with NGOs and government agencies such as NOAA and helping with the U.S. National Committee and just a ton of work.
It's been a year of outreach, engagement, rallying, you name it. I've probably done it to help advertise for the decade and get people knowledgeable about it and help them understand their niche within it. And so what's wonderful and horrible about Knaus is that it's a term limited thing, that you get to do it for a year and then someone else gets to come into your shoes. And so I'm really proud of the work I was able to build and that I got involved with the decade as it's kicking off. And then I'll get to carry on parts that I care about, like the Early Career Ocean Professional Network that I'm really dedicated to. And then I've gotten a podcast out of this whole thing, which is how we got connected and how I'm trying to I'm learning as I go and trying to figure out how to communicate this 10-year thing through the human stories of it. So the people who are doing the science, the people who are developing the new technologies, the cool new partnerships, that I'm really excited to be able to feature those.
That's right. Another ocean podcast to bring into the fold. Taylor's podcast is part of the American Shoreline Podcast Network and will episodically tell the story of the UN Ocean Decade, the inspiration behind it, to the nuts and bolts, and even the people who are behind the effort. We will definitely be checking in with her down the road for an update.
So what advice does Taylor have for those at home who want to participate or get involved?
If you're early on in your career, come into the Early Career Ocean Professional group that we're building, that we can help get you the platform that you need. If you're passionate about ocean conservation and want NGO work, you know, go and volunteer with an NGO and have them get engaged with the decade and help them understand that our best liaisons are just going to be passionate people who bring their organizations and the power and the influence and more smart people into the loop. So my best advice would be don't go at it alone, because that's the goal of the decade, you know, is partnerships and bringing in new people. And so if you're a new person willing to come in, all the power to you, and you're doing what the decade wants to happen. So just sticking with a group that you're passionate about, a group that you believe in, and then having them loop into the decade. The decade isn't necessarily about doing all things brand new, but it's about bringing new people together. And so people can use the decade, it's a great platform. And it's a great way to advertise what you're doing well. It's a great opportunity to collect new ideas that use this Ocean Decade as a billboard, for the best work that you do. It's going to be like a 10-year-long conference of people who all care about the same sorts of things you care about, talking about it for 10 years. Like, that sounds pretty cool from my perspective.
This part really speaks to me, about bringing together different ocean wheels and making them work together, a more holistic approach to ocean science and conservation.
The decade is giving me and others an opportunity to think about how to more thoughtfully bring all those together. Even within NOAA, we have that issue that the line offices don't talk to each other necessarily about everything. And so we have this cross NOAA group that's been meeting on a monthly or bi-monthly basis. And it's people who don't normally come into a virtual room together, and they are sitting and talking about what their office is doing for the decade and how they can work better with others. So it's a conversation starter, if anything. Your individual contribution or your individual group's contribution to the decade, you don't have to change the world, but if you change your piece of it and enough people do that, it's a cool idea. And I get really sappy talking about it, which is why I think that I'm going to stay involved with it, because it's just such a, you don't have something this big and this positive and this science focused that happens on a global scale every day.
So what's next for the Ocean Decade?
Obviously, we're still going to be virtual for most of this year. So the kickoff year for the decade is looking a little different than people had envisioned, in 2017 or even, early 2020. But they're working really hard at the IOC level and at individual country levels to come up with a series of these virtual laboratories that are going to happen over the course of this year, that they're getting people to do programming from all over the world. And they'll have focuses on each of those seven outcomes. So you'll get to get more in depth and get some of those answers about what exactly would a program look like focused on this, or how do I put my coral work into this, or how do we do fisheries management stuff better? So there's a lot of content coming at you this year. And so be prepared for that and to get involved and engaged and know that it's a 10-year effort. And so if the first few years are getting us up off the ground in order to transform the ocean, then that's okay too.
Taylor left us with some pretty powerful thoughts on the Ocean Decade and what it can mean. We decided to leave it in its entirety for this segment, but she was responding to, quote, "What do you want people to take away from this podcast episode?"
The best thing for people to take away from this is that whatever you study, whatever you work on, whatever you do, it has applications to the Ocean Decade. The whole idea is transformation and new ways of thinking. So if you're doing something cool and novel, make sure people know about it. If you're in a realm that's outside of the ocean and you're trying to get more connected to it because you personally care about it and want to bring that into your professional life, go for it. That there's really no limits to what this decade can do. And it's a hard thing, especially for some of the government folks that we've been working with, to think beyond, funding cycles or election cycles, but to really get people to think about their field and their specialty and say, okay, where do we need to be in 10 years? Don't think about the money. Don't think about any of the kind of big things, which you'll obviously have to think of at some point. But okay, so where does the field need to be? And then what are the steps we need to get there as a global ocean community, as a regional ocean community, in a country basis, on a local basis? It can be uncomfortable, but it's an uncomfortable way to think for some people, but it's where we're going to get all these different ways of operating. And so if the first few years are getting us up off the ground in order to transform the ocean, then that's okay too. It's very funny because the decade didn't even start in academia. It started with people at the UN level and really high diplomatic levels, and then people who do, kind of on the ground sustainable development work. And so it's kept that really both top down and bottom up feel. And it's not about, the papers that we get at the end of it, that it's about the people, and it's a decade of, the science and the sustainable development and the technology, but it's also transforming humans' relationship with the ocean and promoting ocean literacy, promoting ocean art, education. The fact that youth are currently a stakeholder at the U.S. level, that they have a platform to speak at the U.S. National Committee, that's huge. Like, no one listens to youth, about anything, or like not as much in the past, but this generation especially, and coming forward and in my role, I've gotten to help them find the right platforms and the right people to talk to go forward, that these youth advisory councils, this YAC that we formed in the U.S., we're going to hopefully work with the U.N. to make one for every national committee around the world so that youth all around the world get a voice in the ocean decade. So it was fun working at this time in the decade because I was allowed to ask the question, well, why not a lot? And really be creative and think about what does this need to look like and who the players that should be involved that maybe aren't involved usually.
Let that be a lesson to all of us. Big ideas and big change sometimes means asking why not instead of why.
We are super excited to see what the next 10 years brings in ocean science and conservation. And we hope to see some of our listeners out there involved as well.
Big thanks to Taylor and big thanks to you, our listeners. Be sure to share with us your thoughts through Twitter or through reviews of this podcast episode. We hope to see you next time on an all-new episode of
Ocean Science Radio.